Slice of Life with Glenn Coble. And as soon as this very loud music drops off, I'll be able to go over and talk to Dr. Feynman, who I believe is on the phone with her. You are there? Uh-oh. hang on. I have to stop some things here. There we go. I got it. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Who was that guest on your show last hour?
Terry. And Terry is very... outspoken about his beliefs, and
is he with the station or he's a guest?
No, he was a guest.
He's
a local guy that's helped us out a lot, and he has very definite opinions, and we absolutely disagree on a lot of them.
Yeah, I was listening to the last 20 minutes, and I was nodding yes to what you were saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he and I disagree, and it's good because we disagree about things that. Should be talked about, and he was using he has a tendency to use pejorative terms towards people he doesn't like. And
I have to say, I agree with him that you don't argue with a police officer, you know, in the sense of resisting, because that does not work, you know. In general, I have to agree on that point.
I think you probably noted that I didn't disagree with him on that either.
Yeah.
It would be wiser not to disagree with a police officer. However, there have been a lot of people that have gotten in a lot of trouble because they didn't disagree with a police officer, usually of a different shade.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. Yeah. That's why your statement about good trouble, John Lewis, you were thinking of.
Yes, John Lewis, thank you.
Tim, I love good trouble is really the best way to look at it, yes.
Yeah, and I think there is a reason for good trouble. The fact that three young people lost their lives in good trouble.
1864, and two of them were students at my college at the time, Queens College.
He was Jewish, wasn't he? The white boy, wasn't he Jewish?
Well, two of them were Jewish, and they were students at Queens College, which was my undergraduate school in 1960. So I didn't know them personally. I guess I'm glad I didn't. But they were in college the same time as I was at Queens College in Flushing, New York. Yes.
And I think only one was African American. Is that not correct?
Yes, and they were all. It was just disgusting. It took years to get anything accomplished. You know, on what happened. There was so much of that in the South, and it's still a problem. I think nationally, but more in the South still. I think it is. You know.
Probably, yeah, and I have passed along the story about my barber down in Florida, and I think
yes,
and
remember that, yeah.
That type of thing still seems to well up more in the South than up North, I'm afraid.
But more of it has seeped up into the Midwest, the Great Plains, unfortunately. You
well,
know?
In Ohio.
In Ohio, I didn't want to say that, but yeah. Yes.
We know. We know. I listened to I was going to mention this to you anyway on the show. I listened to a terrific TED Talk about why. Do you ever listen to TED Talks, Dr. Feynman?
I think at some point, but not recently.
Yeah.
No. But
I'm kind of that way too. But this gentleman was talking about why people refuse to believe truths. And he said, and he basically was saying, truths are in the minds of the beholder. And therefore, if your organization tells you something is true, we tend not to be able to dispel that from our heads because our group says it's true. So therefore, we believe it's true.
Well, it's certainly true much with organized religious groups that tend to try to, promote people obeying their rules and without thinking, just accepting. And I don't like that.
Well, I'm not a big fan of it myself, as I'm sure you know.
Yes.
I wish I could do the TED Talk for you because it went way deeper than that. And it explained why certain people believe, and they truly believe, like the big lie, as the
Adolf Hitler, yeah.
Liberals are calling it right now. They believe it because as human beings, we don't memorize all the rules, all the things that are right, all the things that are facts. We don't memorize that stuff. We accept it from our the body around us. And that was kind of what he was saying.
Well, I don't think you've ever been that way yourself, though, have you? No.
My mother wouldn't allow it.
And I have never been that way. And that's why I may not have, as a young person, had as many friends, but I had good friends, because you don't need too many friends, and you don't need people that get you involved in things you shouldn't get involved in, you know?
Right. Well, like my discussion this morning with Terry on the radio, he angered me when he was using the pejorative terms. But my mother, I can see my mother sitting on my shoulder saying, listen, don't react, just be kind. And I try.
Ideally, but sometimes you can't be.
No, and that's one of the problems we are having with this stand and what is it, the gun law? Stand your ground.
Stand your ground,
One of the problems is, stand your ground might work if everybody had an IQ of 135.
Yeah.
Not even that. But if everybody was a good human being. But not everybody is a good human being.
No.
And a lot of people do not, they react. And they would call me names.
Yeah.
And names kind of make you angry. And the angrier you get, you know, if I was, you know, angry at the gentleman that was talking to me, I could have pulled my gun out and said I was threatened and blow him away. Now, I think that stand your ground laws are probably the most ignorant law that we have passed. I just can't understand why people think that's a good thing to have.
And I guess in my mind, I know some people go hunting, things like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but in general, I'd say if you feel you need a gun to protect your home, get a dog instead that makes a loud bark.
Well, and he asked, what would you do? Or no, the lady that called in afterwards asked, what would you do if you woke up and somebody was standing over you? You know, well, first of all, I lock my doors.
Well, of course, I do too, yeah.
And
alarm system on overnight also.
Well, you would hear it if you tried to get into my house. I can't walk out of my living room without waking my wife up in the other room. So, and I think it's much ado about nothing. People are frightened of their own shadows anymore. And to think that having a gun makes you a braver person, I've seen shows on television where they show what really happens when all these people who are trained, 8 hours worth of training about how to use a gun, if a person breaks into their classroom and threatens to kill them all, most of them hit the ground or start running, and in essence, most of them get killed, not the person that came in with the gun.
Yeah.
Because people don't react the way they're trained to react. I was trained as a soldier, and I'm not certain that all soldiers react the way they're trained. Matter of fact, I'd say most.
So they don't.
I'd say they don't. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that even if you were to have a gun and somebody came in and you shot him, let's say, and maybe killed him, most people, I think, would have guilt after, not because they didn't protect themselves, but the thought of actually killing someone. It's not that easy just to accept I did what I had to do. You might, but I think you have guilt. I once had a student who was in prison because he had killed someone who had been running away from him. You can't shoot people running away from you. You can only shoot them when they're coming towards you,
In
most states anyway. And so he ended up in prison for a while because he killed this guy, but he has guilt still now. It's not easy to use a gun. You can talk all you want bravado, but it's not that easy to use it, you know?
Well, like I told both of the people that I was talking to today, I think I'd rather be a dead, kind person than a live murderer. And I'm not sure if the facts came down, whether I'm telling the truth there, but
you're a kind person, as I like to think of myself, but a lot of people are not kind. They don't care about anyone but themselves.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems that way anymore.
Soft.
Yeah, and I know people consider me soft, but I don't think you'd want to come into my bedroom at night and face my baseball bat. And I don't even keep a baseball bat. Some people I know keep a baseball bat by their bed. My bat, I'd have to get up and walk across the room to get my baseball bat.
Yeah, well, I think it's paranoia.
Yes, I do too. I think paranoia is rampant in this country right now.
Yeah, and I don't know for sure, of course, but I don't think most people ever really have a crime committed on their property. It's just some do, particularly in poorer neighborhoods. That's the problem, and that's mostly, unfortunately, minority neighborhoods. But I don't think most white people really have to face that kind of threat. They just think they do, but I don't think they really do.
They're afraid of the black boogeyman and the Jewish boogeyman.
And now Asians, too, of course.
And the Asian boogeyman, yeah. When, in fact, we are all of the same race. We're all humans, and we're the human race.
And, you know, check out your genetics. Most of us have a mix.
Absolutely.
All over the world. Oh, my God. Some of these white supremacists might discover I have some African ancestry, Asian ancestry. They'll probably mix and want to kill themselves. They should.
Yeah, go ahead. That's another reason to at least be a little bit more controlling of our gun situation. And the people that we get in this town, and the lady included, and I loved her call. I'm glad she feels more comfortable with the gun. I'm glad she took the training and knows about her gun. But a lot of the people, the training is just a few hours, and you can't carry that around with you all the time. Your training will go out the window as soon as the situation, you know, as soon as somebody comes up to you and scares you. I will guarantee you. I think I mentioned this on the air. When I was learning how to fire the M16. Well, no, I think we were still on the M1, but we were learning on the firing range, and I walked down to see what my score was on my target. I walked down the firing range with the gun facing forward above me and away from me.
Oh,
and on the way back, I kept it in the same position, so it was pointing directly at my drill instructor, who was up in the tower watching us. I spent at least an hour jumping in and out of a foxhole after I dug it.
So, my God. I wonder if that's ever happened, actually, that some drill instructor gets shot by accident.
He was so angry at me, he took me up into the watchtower for the firing range and showed me all the bullet holes that were there, and there were at least a half dozen. So, kind of scary.
Yeah.
You can be trained to within an inch of your life, and you won't always respond the way you think you're supposed to. And unfortunately, I don't know if you've been watching the trial, but
it's very depressing. Yeah.
It is depressing, and most of the higher ups in that department, all five of them that have testified so far, have said that Chauvin absolutely did not follow training protocol or training rules in the way he...
His wife divorced him right after and said he had been abusive to her, so he was not a very nice person in the first place. He had power issues, you know?
He has been He's been accused and found guilty of 17 misdemeanors or whatever they call them.
Yes, he should not have been a police officer. Yep. At the point of last year, yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but I was interviewed 3-4 years ago when I was running for office for trying to get the endorsement of the city sheriff or the county sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. I was interviewed by 4, 5, maybe 6 sheriff's officers. When I left, well, first of all, I was told there's no reason for you to even go to that because you have no chance of getting an endorsement from it because you're a Democrat. You're a liberal Democrat. But I went anyway because I wanted to explain to them what I believed in. And as I left, and I had one of them was what I consider a pretty good friend. As I left, I had the absolute feeling that they thought I was a nutcase.
Terrible.
And they obviously didn't give me the endorsement, but I felt that they believed that I was not a good person because I didn't agree with everything they believed in. So.
Well, that makes them more like fascist types.
Well, that's kind of the way I felt as I left there.
What's that?
That's kind of the way I felt as I left that interview. Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, I was pretty certain that my education level was higher than theirs. That doesn't mean much. It truly doesn't. You can be brilliant and be stupid at the same time.
Of course.
But I just didn't feel they had been taught very kindly. They hadn't been taught to be a human being. They had been taught to be a police officer.
They had not, I think, taken sociology and psychology courses.
Right.
Now I think required a lot of older officers.
I hope so. Not that I believe that you can be trained even in sociology and that sort of thing to be a better police officer. I think
it's your character that decides.
We need to test those people for their character to start with. You can take an 8-year-old and train them till they're blue in the teeth, but if they're an angry 8-year-old, they're going to be angry. And they're not going to be friendly, and they're not going to share, and they're not going to do all sorts of things.
If they're angry at 8, there's probably a parental problem.
Yes, that probably is true. I probably should have said more like a teenager.
Even a teenager, I think you were the product of your upbringing, and some people don't have a choice, obviously. But I think it does affect your psyche.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I gotta admit to you, we're in new digs right now, so we sound a little different. And
new building?
Yeah, we're in a new building.
How far away from the other one?
No, 2 blocks.
Oh,
not very far.
Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. We own this building. We don't, but a member of our radio family owns this building. But
I know? No, not Scott.
No, you know the person very closely. You used to be on the air with him.
He's the owner?
Yeah. And so he's done a nice job. And it's kind of a financial benefit to him. Anyway, we won't go any further than that because
I'm not quite sure
what I can say about it. But we do sound a little different. And so when you're able to listen to the show later, please excuse the... Apparently, we sound a little tinny. And we're working on it, but we got to find somebody brave enough to climb up the towers.
But also, it's not as loud, I don't think, as sometimes the last few shows were loud.
Yes, and that was my fault. I found out I had the pots set too high. And no, that's not the green stuff you grow in next to the riverbank. It's the little volume controls I had too high. But now I've got them down, and hopefully we'll be... But the other problem is I do not have Wi-Fi right now. I have it, but I didn't have it when I got here, so I was unable to pull up the stuff I was going to ask you.
Well, I can tell you what you wrote on.
Yeah, tell me what I said we were going to talk about, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, relationship of Matt Gaetz with Jim Jordan.
Yes, please.
I can imagine
talk to
what
me
that
about.
Relationship is. I'm sure it's despicable. They're both despicable.
Well, Jordan appears in an awful lot of pictures with Matt Gaetz, and those two are the only two that have kind of stood up for his position on everything. Am I wrong on that?
Yes, even Donald Trump is staying away from him much, which I find ironic, because he just got engaged, Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, not Donald Trump.
Not
again.
And suppose he's going to get married in Mar-a-Lago.
That's
what I read.
Yeah, to
whether that's going to actually happen now.
I don't know.
It is a piece of work. Unbelievable. So is Jim Jordan. And Jim Jordan has some scandals in his background, and so does Matt Gaetz.
And both of them are sexual things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, in Matt Gaetz's case, he adopted a kid that was the brother of a former girlfriend. He adopted him at age 19.
I didn't know you could do that.
What's that?
I didn't know you could adopt somebody that was over 18.
Well, apparently, and it made me wonder, and then suddenly there's all these women, including 17-year-olds, so I'm thinking he may be everybody to everything.
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh my God, he's just unbelievable. And this is from the panhandle of Florida, the area where Joe Scarborough came from. Not sure the same district, but the northern part of the state. And it doesn't exactly reflect well on that area that this guy got in. But he's got a wealthy father who gave him an edge, just like Donald Trump had a wealthy father. They're being compared, actually. And they were very close, but now Trump is pretty much staying out of it. You know, he's not making much comment.
Well, he doesn't want to get in hot water again. He's found out that he can play golf every day now, and nobody gives him any grief. So
yeah, but one thing I got to say, you think about it, even those who back him, he's happy, and then if he thinks it's not good to him, he just throws them away. He throws everybody away.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, even his supporters, he doesn't. Like, he threw away Mike Pence, let him face the hanging and not even call him for 5 days. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's kind of hard to believe that he didn't want Mike Pence to at least be alive after the insurrection.
And yet Mike Pence just let it go.
Yeah.
As you know, he's not, you know, he's back in, at least in theory, in good relations. And I'm thinking, how could you be that way? How could your wife allow you to do that?
Well, you know, the people...
I don't understand these people.
People quite often talk about the things that motivate people. And a couple of the things that are right up at the top are money and power.
Yes.
And those two things, I'm sure Mike Pence didn't want to lose, and you know that Mr. Trump does not want to lose, and I'm guessing that Gates does not want to lose them.
But the big thing about Mike Pence is he's a good Christian. I'm not saying to be sarcastic, but it's always emphasized. So is that the way a good Christian acts?
as a atheistic Christian, I will tell you, my father never taught Christianity that way, and he spoke Greek, so I guess he understood the Bible a little bit better than some. Anyway, I don't understand where we are going. And this show that I was watching on, not Think Big, TED Talks. They even talked about that type of thing where people get supported by the people that they hang around with, they actually start believing what each other says is true, and not knowing fully well what is the truth, and vice versa. Those of us liberals who hang around with nothing but liberals, we start thinking that anything that is not liberal is the truth. And we ought to be careful of that. We ought to be critical in our analysis. My father taught religion, and he got in a lot of trouble because we had a long talk. Dad and I had a long talk, and I asked him, how can you preach these things? And he said he believed in historical critical analysis of religion. In other words, he looked at... I remember one of the reasons why I was arguing with him is I said, why did God decide that Noah was going to be he and his wife were going to be the only people left alive, and all the animals were going to be killed except for two of each?
Yes.
And the answer to that was, it can't be possible. Because historically, critically, that couldn't happen. First of all, you couldn't... Where were you going to put all the poop? I remember him telling me that. That was one of the first things he said.
How old were you when you asked that? What's
that? 14, 15.
Oh, God.
And then he said, the lions would eat everything else. So he was very historically critical about Noah's Ark and how, you know, and now there are people that are trying to say they've found Noah's Ark and they can show by satellite exactly where it is. Well, I have yet to hear anybody that said they went and unearthed it and found out, oh, there are bones from two of each animal, you know.
Yeah.
And not only that, but how many places do you have? How many animals could you have put on a boat?
If they don't do this, that creationist museum, I think in northern Kentucky, right near Cincinnati, Ohio.
A good place for it, Kentucky. All right.
I'm saying.
Should be in Ohio, but.
How do you go to that place and believe anything they say? It's so preposterous, but they do get tourists.
Yeah, oh, of course. I would go to see that. I really would.
To see how ridiculous it is.
Well, I would go and try to keep my mouth shut, and my wife and I'd have a lot of chuckles on the way home.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see it, but oh, come on, give me a break, you know?
Yeah. All right, what else did I put on my thing?
Well, about the Senate Parliamentarian Allowance
for
World Budget Reconciliation, which I think is wonderful.
Is that
really
going to
happen?
It
allows a real chance to do real things in the next 2 years. Wow.
Can't the Republicans go against the parliamentarian?
Well, the thing is, they don't have the votes.
If
every Democrat, including including Joe Manchin, goes along, they can't stop it right now. This is how important having even though it's a split Senate, having the government and the vice president of your party makes such a difference. You know, she's going to be very significant. She's going to have more breaking of ties than probably any vice president in memory. It looks like.
Yeah.
Well, now, Harris. You know.
Yeah, I knew who you meant. But the parliamentarian is also a female, I believe. So.
Yes, she is. But you know what's interesting is, and brought it out in class, is that people say Harris, the first person of color, of course a woman, first person of color to be vice president. Actually, no. Charles Curtis, who was vice president under Herbert Hoover, was a full-blooded Native American.
Is
so actually,
right?
He's the first person of color who was vice president.
He
had been Senate Majority Leader in the 1920s in the Republican Party.
Huh.
How's that?
I love it.
So she's actually the second person of color, although obviously the first woman, you know.
Well, I don't know if you tuned in early enough to hear us talking about the gentleman I was talking with. Was talking about Chief Wahoo with the Indians, the Cleveland Indians. And people don't understand.
I wasn't listening at that time.
Okay.
No.
People don't understand that it really does make Native Americans look stupid. Chief Wahoo is a cartoon character.
Yeah.
I'm looking at him right now. He's a giant, toothy grin. And he doesn't look terribly smart.
I know the image, I know the Atlanta Braves, I'm sure it's the same issue with them.
I would be offended if I were a Native American, but, I'm one of those crazy liberals, so...
You know what's interesting? There's a map of the United States that talks about everybody supposedly is undocumented immigrants. We're all undocumented, because to show that map of the U.S. with all the Native American tribes, it's only white people came here.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. But we killed everybody, so that's okay. We're stronger and tougher.
And people talk against undocumented immigrants. Yes, small percentage commit crimes. I know.
Smaller
percentage of people are native-born Americans. You know, the people born in the country will commit crimes. But the point is they come here, they do all kinds of work, they don't complain, they may have come the wrong way, but they're not criminals. And, you know, the whole idea is New York is now is providing some aid to these people who cannot get any aid because they've been out of work, et cetera. And yet there are people who complain about that we shouldn't give any aid to any undocumented immigrants. So should they all starve? Should they all be homeless in the streets or what?
Well, now, when that issue came up when Trump claimed that they were all rapists and stuff like that.
That's ridiculous.
When he brought that up, it was pointed out that undocumented immigrants have a much lower crime rate than the general public because they don't want to get caught for anything, let alone a crime. So
it's occasionally one case somebody does something, but they make it out like every undocumented immigrant, when many more people born in this country who are white supremacists commit crimes. Domestic terrorism is much more of a threat.
Well, the lady brought up, this morning, something about legalizing death as a penalty, and thought that we needed to get back to that because that would stop things. I did not mention this to the lady, but I did mention it after she was off the air to the people I was talking with, that it has been proven that the death penalty was used far more against people of color than it was against white people, in even per capita. I mean, it's not like, it's like 150 people were killed in the last 10 years, and 120 of them were African American or,
in many cases,
color.
The juries are all white or close to all white juries.
Yeah.
Trial and punishment are not equal for people of different backgrounds. No.
I can't imagine that anybody believes that. But, again, like I was telling you, this TED Talk, people get this communal intelligence, and it's not really intelligent, but this communal belief, and it becomes a truism for them. And I don't know how we change that.
Yeah, well, I've learned in the last year, there are people you can bring the horse to water, you can't make a drink. No matter what you tell them, yeah, they're just going to say, oh, you're a liberal, and that's the end of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, well, in face of having an argument that you're a liberal usually covers it, right?
Yes.
Dumb liberals. Oh, you're just a lib. People.
Yeah, they even say lib, that's right.
Yeah, people think that really offends me when they call me a lib. It does not offend me. It makes me think, oh, I'm smarter than you are.
Which you are.
Well, I'm probably not, but...
Oh, you absolutely are. No question.
Anyway, okay, so what are the three things that they can use reconciliation with? They've already used the thing about the COVID
and now
recovery.
The infrastructure bill, which infrastructure. Is not just pure infrastructure. The yep. Governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, has come across as dumb as Sarah Palin.
Oh,
she didn't understand the infrastructure bill, and I'm thinking, do you want to run for president because she's nice looking like Sarah Palin?
Yeah,
and governor with the COVID-19 rate per capita is higher than anywhere, and you know, it just is crazy. I mean, but she could be one of the people. Of course, there'll be a million people running for the nomination, but she definitely is interested, thinking that she is so wonderful because she's handled COVID-19 by ignoring it.
Well, I'll watch because she's so cute.
Yes. Yes. She's a competitor to Sarah Palin. In fact, even Sarah Palin now says that you need to get vaccinated and wear masks. Even she says it now.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
When you get it, then your brain says, oh, maybe I'm wrong, and you finally use your head.
Okay, we agree on the first two things. What would the third thing that they could use reconciliation
be? I don't think it's settled yet.
No, I don't either, but...
It could be on the voting rights bill.
Ah, yes.
Which I think is, and that's absolutely, they have to prevent any other voting. I mean, what happened in Georgia is terrible, and what's happening in Texas, oh my God, Texas, oh, just unbelievable, and elsewhere. And I mean, the big complaint about corporations are taking a stand. Like, corporations have not always taken stands, but if they take a stand against the Republicans, it's bad. If they take a stand that's anti the Republican Party now, that's horrible.
Well,
Mitch McConnell is such a hypocrite. Unbelievable.
The stands that corporations will always take is the money. And they found out that people do not like this law, these laws, and so they're taking a stand with the people. So they're
that
voting
big business
with
in
the people.
He's back to Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
Passed. And it's due to the Supreme Court appointments by Republicans, including George W. Bush, and including Chief Justice Roberts, who more recently has become a little more moderate, but they're the ones that destroyed the Voting Rights Act of Shelby County versus Holder, named after Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the case, in 2013. And that's when all these states in the South and Midwest and Great Plains started to pass restrictions. There should be no restrictions at all if you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
My opinion. And 18.
Now, yeah. You mentioned earlier that about the immigrants who are getting money for, you know, illegal immigrants, but in fact, they do not get money. Is that not correct? If you're an illegal immigrant...
Well, they're not now, but there's a provision in the New York State budget that is calling for aid to, you know, to undocumented immigrants in the state who probably... or at least a million or more, maybe more, and these people have had no ability, if they lose their job, to pay rent or do anything. And, I mean, these people, they do the jobs most people don't want. They work double and triple jobs, many of them. And I'm not saying I like that they came in illegal, you know, undocumented, but they didn't come in and commit crimes. They just wanted to have a better life, and they came over the years, and some of them are these DACA people, you know, from years ago.
Sure.
Say, don't give a penny to any of them. So what are you going to do, have them starve on the street or die on the street? What are you supposed to do with these people?
You end up going to have to pay for it anyway, because even if they die on the street, you've got to find a way to get them off the street and get rid of the body and so forth.
I don't understand how people have such hatred for these people.
I don't either.
I'm not saying, I'm not encouraging it, but honestly, these people will do jobs that others will not do.
And
they won't complain about it as much as privileged Americans complain about everything, you know.
And if they're Irish, if they're Italian, if they're Jewish
or Chinese or Japanese in the past, or
they
or,
have been,
you know,
discriminated.
You're right, they all get discriminated. Also, Vietnamese, they all get discriminated against, yes.
So we ought to wise up. We ought to be as smart as we think we are.
Oh, God.
And welcome everybody aboard. Now, I do understand we need to have some sort of rules on how you get aboard, but that can be done. And I understand there will always be people that will adjust, will change the rules to suit them, and there will always be people that will use the rules to suit them, and there will always be people that will just ignore the rules. But you're... Who's the adult in the room? We should be the adults in the room and figure out how we take care of that sort of problem. All right, what was the... There was a third thing that I had put on there.
How about the corporation boycott? That was.
The corporation boycott. Do you think it's going to... Well, it came in awfully late, did it not?
Yes. Well, the game is going to be in Denver, you know, in Coors Stadium.
Yeah, but that's only one thing, right?
Well, I mean, there are those that say... And apparently it's true that the New York voter registration laws are not actually, in some ways, as good as the Georgia ones. But the difference is there's nothing in there that says you can't give people water. It's a, you know, and that kind of stuff. I mean, there are aspects of the Georgia law that are better, in quotes, than New York, as an example, because the Georgia governor showed it, and apparently it's true. But there's also an attitude of trying to prevent people from voting that's very obvious in Georgia's history. Nothing new. And look at how the 2018 election, when Kemp won over Stacey Abrams, it was a fixed election because he was Secretary of State. He was fixing the, you know, who could vote and all that. So there's a lot of corruption in Georgia and elsewhere, on that issue.
Unfortunately, where there is power, people will find a way to steal it. It does seem strange that we can't figure out how to be human, how to be kind to each other. And I don't mean that as, you know, people that call me kind or people that call me lib or anything along that line, it's implying that I'm weak, but it doesn't. It really isn't true.
No, you have ethics and morality.
I hope so.
Common decency.
I hope so.
And that's why I love Joe Biden. He's such a decent, humane man.
I like to think of myself as a stupid Joe Biden.
No, I wouldn't go that far to use the word stupid. But it's interesting. Now some people are saying the way Joe Biden's moving, he's moving to the left compared to what he was, a little more to the left, that he could become a figure, he has a certain amount of charisma, that he could become the liberals' Ronald Reagan in the sense of his impact on the country in his term of office. Well, isn't that an interesting thought? I really was stunned when I heard that, but the argument is that he could be a really path-breaking, trailblazing president. And I'm really encouraged. 77 days today. It's 11 weeks today. Oh. And I think I'm very pleased with the way he's moving, and he seems perfectly fine. You know, he stutters a little bit, you know, but my God, he's more mentally sane by far than Donald Trump ever was, you know?
Well, now, the thing that does bother me, I hear a lot of Democrats criticizing certain things that he's done. But the nice thing about that is, I hear Democrats criticizing a Democratic president. Did you ever hear a Republican criticizing Trump? Not after he got into office. Initially, there were people that called him stupid and everything else, but after he got into office, now he's wonderful. And
also, people criticize Joe Biden. Does the press secretary get nasty? Jen Psaki? No.
She responds to their questions.
She's wonderful. And does he react by getting nasty at his critics? No.
No.
He works with them. Like, he talks to Joe Manchin. He talks to even some Republicans. So he doesn't strike back, you know, like Trump always does.
Now, I'm a little concerned about Joe Manchin. He's our neighbor up here in West Virginia. I'm concerned that he may start thinking he has more power than he should think he has, but he does have an awful lot of power. He has as much power as Kamala has. I mean, he is the vote.
But there's still a hope that some Republicans in the Senate will go along. I think, you know, really there is a chance that Mitt Romney will go along on some things.
Uh-huh.
And certainly Lisa Murkowski. Now, she's facing a race in 2022, but she's in very good shape because in Alaska, independence is on it. She's done a lot for, you know, for people in Alaska. She won an independent race after being a Republican in 2010 because she lost the Republican primary. Uh-huh. And I think she's the one person, and maybe Mitt Romney, that could really make the difference on some of these pieces of legislation. I would think on voting rights, why wouldn't Murkowski want to go that way? You know,
yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. But I think he's working to try to get a few Republicans to back him. And hopefully, you know, but it's going to be a very tough time. And hopefully he will do well enough in the economy, which is booming right now, doing much better, almost a million new jobs, that it will help them to win the Senate and the House in 2022 against history. And they'll gain some seats because they need to gain some, you know.
We can only hope. I don't know. Now, one good thing about Trump is that he kind of turned the world around on its ear a little bit. It kind of is making people sit up and take notice. How many Republicans are anti-Trump? There are a lot of them.
Yes, an awful lot of them, including the ones who backed Joe Biden. You know,
right.
And interestingly, even on the bill that passed, and now even on infrastructure, it says a lot of Republican voters like it.
Yeah.
Not the Republicans in Congress. So they're actually going, as I wrote on my blog, they're going against their own voters.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's crazy. Republicans in Congress defined their own voters in refusing to work with President Joe Biden. They did that on April 2nd, and it was the day after April Fool's, but I wasn't joking. So I just don't get it. I don't understand why they think being totally against him is gonna be popular with their own constituency.
Well, the people that I was talking to this morning, and we are down to about three minutes,
yes,
something like that. But the people I was talking with this morning, and they were Ohio people. Ohio people seem to become wanting to. They like to think of themselves as independent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do about the Second Amendment. Well, we've been telling people what to do about the Second Amendment since it was created, and also the Second Amendment was for a well-regulated militia.
It did not mean everybody should,
yes,
have every weapon they want.
It doesn't say anything about giving people AR-15s or, you know, that type of weapon.
And even Scalia said that in that gun case in 2008.
Right.
He didn't say that meant everybody could just have everything they want.
Yeah, well,
you know, so
everybody gets a tank.
Distortion, you know.
All right, well, we're down to the final minute and a half. What do we need to know before I let you go?
Well, about a week ago, I wrote about the fact that all three top state Republicans in Florida are likely to be contending each other for the Republican nomination. That is Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott, and Marco Rubio. Of course, there'll be others, but I think all three of them are going to be in the race. And because Florida is the third largest state in population, I think, you know, Florida is going to play a major role. And, of course, Trump's in Florida, too. So if he was to think of running, that it's four Floridians. So you can't ignore Florida, as horrible as these people are, because they do have positions of authority. And by the way, Rick Scott has not had a shot yet to vaccination, and Ron Johnson hasn't, and I hope they don't get it. You know what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do.
These people, who cares? Let them, you know, I'm not going to go further. You know what I'm trying to say.
No.
They're morons, but so many evangelicals, I understand, don't want to have this vaccination, so they're just going to lose part of their membership if they do that.
Do you have Stand Your Ground down there in Florida? Maybe
yes,
they will all stand their ground and blow each other away. No, that's not nice.
Not funny, really, but it sounds funny.
Right. Okay, we're down to the final 30 seconds.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
it
you.
Was great, and I look forward. This, by the way, is the 30th time I've been on with you.
Fantastic. We love it.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week.
All right. Very
I'll
good. Dr. Feinman, have
George,
a great
yeah.
day. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Feinman, and we do have to get out of here. We've got about 10 seconds. Thanks for listening. This has been A Progressive Life. You're listening to Glenn Coble. Have a good day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For guests like